Chapter 10. A Mouse and a Garden. It was a sunny day in Whitney Pier. The sky was blue and the factory wasn't belching its red dust as Rennie began her trek. Her breadsticks pleased her and people on the streets looked cheerful. Nevertheless, she went to Mrs. Hubinsky's first for good luck. It was an easy sale and Mrs. Hubinsky gave her an extra nickel for extra good luck. But she warned Rennie, "Don't you get too disappointed if they don't all go. With the mine closed down, people are poor, you know." "The only cost a nickel, Mrs. Hubinsky." "That doesn't matter, dear. And another thing," she said after a moment's pause, "if anyone says anything that's a little hurtful, don't you pay them any mind. You're a good, thoughtful girl, and that's what counts." "I won't," Rennie frowned. It hadn't occurred to her that that might happen. Despite all the terrible words of the past few weeks, after all, she was offering people something lovely and tasty. She walked down Mrs. Hubinsky's path. The old horse chestnut in her yard was probably the biggest tree in all of Whitney Pier. Rennie left the path so she could stand right under it and look up. It umbrellaed high above her head, blocking out the blue with dark, delicious green. The leaves were thick and well-fed. She skipped up the path through the next yard. It, too, looked healthy. The door was a forest green. Through its small square window peeked an older woman she recognized from visits to the bakery. "Yes?" the woman asked curiously when she opened the door. Rennie suddenly discovered how shy she felt. She almost never spoke to adults unless she knew them really well. "Would you like to buy some breadsticks, ma'am?" She held out a golden bunch in a pink ribbon. "Why, that would be lovely." Soon she was dropping a nickel kerplunk into the bottom of Rennie's bag. "Thank you," Rennie smiled as she skipped back down the path. "Only go to friends," she remembered. But at the next house, a fluffy white terrier wagged its tail at her. She bent down and petted him all over as he wiggled in joy. Everyone in Whitney Pier was a friend. She gave the dog a big hug and ran up to the door. "Here," some teenagers joked with each other, "I think I'm a little hungry, are you?" "Oh, for sure, I haven't eaten in days." They each bought a bunch, and the sun kept shining. There were a few refusals, but the Scopias and the Davidas bought from her. People were friendly, and she was feeling fine. Soon she was on Julie's block. She could still feel a smile on her face. They hadn't spoke in a month. But Julie liked pretty things. Blue skies, colorful ribbons, shiny bread. She hurried down the street and turned into Julie's walk. Something moved from behind the house. Mr. McLean was cutting the grass in the backyard. His t-shirt clung to him in patches of sweat and he pushed the lawnmower. Clack, pitty clack, like the teeth of giants. The coal miners were still out of work and still hating the Italians because of it. Quickly before he saw her, she ran to the front door. She'd stood right here a thousand times before. She rang the bell. Julie answered. "Hi, Julie. What do you want?" Julie demanded. Then Rennie knew the stupid thing she'd done. But she was trapped like a mouse. "Would your mom like to buy some breadsticks?" "Don't be stupid." Julia, Mrs. McLean snapped from behind her. "Don't speak to her." Mrs. McLean shoved herself in front of Julie, her eyes pierced like a witch's. "You should know better than to be here," she said to Rennie. She shut the door hard. Rennie stood there. It was as if her brain had stopped and her feet were glued down. The door was black, but she stared at it as if she could see through it, or as if it hadn't shut. Then suddenly everything changed. Why had she gone there? Had she forgotten this was war? Revenge? She turned and walked defiantly away. She would not be sad. She would sell the rest of her breadsticks bravely and show Julie, or show herself. She stomped along. When would the anger fade? Good morning, Rennie. Who was that? A woman she just stopped past. She turned. It was Mrs. Byrne, one of the nicest ladies in town. Good morning, Mrs. Byrne. Mrs. Byrne caught up to her, so they were walking along together. Are you having a nice day? Rennie was slowly feeling friendly again. Mrs. Byrne was lovely. She had sparkling green eyes, like a cat, and soft reddish hair that fell in wispy strands around her cheek, making her look almost childlike. She liked children, too. She always spoke to them. I guess so, said Rennie. I'm selling breadsticks. Are you? Well, I'd like some of those. Here we are at my house. Come on in a while. I find some money. She sat Rennie down at the kitchen table and gave her juice, crackers, and grape jelly. She sat with her and started talking as if they were continuing a conversation. You must not worry. When this war is over, the world will be a much better place. Hitler and Mussolini and men like them will never again be loose. Your daddy will be safe. So will everyone, everywhere. You mustn't worry. She sat at the table and nodded her head sympathetically in Rennie's direction. It is hard for you. What they've done to your daddy is a terrible thing, but they will see their mistake. This war, it is a good thing, she assured Rennie. Rennie could hardly believe it. Why, she whispered, they took my papa. Without thinking, she crunched a cracker between her fingers. A crumpy mess coated her hand and fell on the table in front of her. She didn't dare look at Mrs. Byrne or brush off her hand. She held it on the table, closed and still. Gently, Mrs. Byrne put her own hand on top of Rennie, and they looked at each other. Her eyes smiled. Because Hitler wants to take over the world, he is killing thousands of people just because he doesn't like them. Jewish people like Dr. Byrne and me, we have to stop him from doing these terrible things. Rennie was looking hard at Mrs. Byrne. How could anyone not like her? Why? She asked again. Why? What, dear? Why doesn't Hitler like you? Because Jews have a different religion than him. He thinks there should only be Protestants. Some people say he wants only tall, blonde people in the world, and most Jewish people are different than that. And many work hard and have very good jobs. Hitler thinks the Jews will take over the world. Rennie was silent. She had wanted comfort, but now, on top of her anger, she was scared. She tried to act normal while she spread some jelly on a cracker, but her hand shook again and the cracker broke up. Purple jelly smeared into the tablecloth. How was she going to keep from crying? Mrs. Byrne gently took the knife and fixed the cracker for her. What is it, Rennie? My papa is Catholic, and he works hard, Rennie blurted out. Yes, and maybe people in our country are acting a little like Hitler, but they will see their mistake, and when this war is over, your daddy will be home. Rennie was breathing hard. Everything was terrible, the whole world. But when she looked up again, she saw that Mrs. Byrne was almost laughing. She tussled Rennie's hair and said, Here, I've been talking on, and I thought it was your people who were the talkative types. What do you mean? Mrs. Burns laughed again. Never mind. Here, 2 nickels. I'm hungry this afternoon. Now you go sell the rest of those and have a good time doing it. Rennie got up and walked slowly to the door. Mrs. Burns, she asked, when will the war be over? Mrs. Burns put her hand on Rennie's shoulder. Well, now no one knows the answer to that. It will take as long as it takes for the right side to win. That's the side that will set your daddy free. As Rennie walked around the neighborhood, Mrs. Burns' words burned in her mind. Fear tightened her stomach. Each face was a goblin and she was its food, perfect food. She didn't smile once after that, and there were many no thank yous. There was a certainly not. That made her jump. But she wasn't arrested or beaten or killed. She was only Renny Tranny. She wasn't anyone who could take over the world. She had two bunches of breadsticks left when she reached her street again, but she felt she couldn't knock on another door. Julie had jinxed her day. Maxie, the policeman's daughter, came flying down the sidewalk on her roller skates. "We are at war with Italy," her father said. "Come with us." Renny planted her feet right in front of Maxie. Maxie grabbed her arms to keep from falling, but Renny landed on her bottom with Maxie on top of her. The pain went through her thin shorts like a spanking for both of them. "Hey, why'd you do that? Leave me alone." Renny pushed herself to her feet. "I hate you." Maxie looked up at her with her mouth hanging open. Suddenly, Renny felt sorry. It wasn't Maxie who deserved punishing. "What did I do?" asked Maxie. Renny just shuffled her feet. "Well," Maxie stood up and looked at Renny questioningly, "what do you have in the bag?" Renny answered slowly, "Breadsticks. They're a nickel for four." "Oh, yummy, I'll go get Daddy. He's home right now." "No," said Renny, but Maxie gave her a confused look and ran into the house anyway. She came back with Sergeant McPhee. He wasn't shaking some coins in his hands and smiling pleasantly. "What have you got there?" he asked. When he saw what she was selling, he bought Rennie's two remaining bunches. "Won't you come in and enjoy them with us?" "But you arrested my father." I can't. It's time for supper." "Another time." "Then," offered Sergeant McPhee, "and keep up the good work." She gave him a confused smile. "Okay," she said. She went home and walked around to the soothing greenness of her garden. She was shaking inside. And there was a ball of tears in her throat ready to burst. She clutched the rolled up paper bag of nickels tightly. She looked over the row of tomatoes. They had grown half as high as the stakes and were covered with tiny green fruits where flowers had been. The leaves were fuzzy and soft. Her fingers relaxed and she touched one. She laid her bag on the grass. She crouched down to adjust a soft grip of cloth which she'd used to tie a vine to a stake. Very gently she smoothed it out so that it wasn't cutting into the stalk. She rubbed out the suckers and checked for caterpillars. Her fingers worked as she'd seen papas do for years and years. The tomatoes were such beautiful, delicate plants. Each day from now on, she would check them, fixing the cloth strips as the stems got thicker and taller. She stayed crouched down for a moment, breathing the freshness of the garden. Then she went to the kitchen where Mama was breaking beans and dropping them in a pot. She walked over to the blue spotted pig and frowned at the stupid grin it gave her. She dropped a nickel. Clink, snap went a bean. Clink, snap. "Well, how'd it go?" asked Mama when the clinking stopped. Renny turned toward her. "Good," she said hopefully. Mama looked as if she might be in a good mood. Her hands were lively with the beans, and she wore a fresh flowered dress that made her look round and comfortable. It might be nice to hug her and listen to her heartbeat and feel her hotness right through her clothes. But Mama just said, "I'm glad." Renny started towards her room, but something stopped her. She turned around. "Mama, Sergeant McPhee bought two bunches." Mama was very slow to answer, but finally she said, "Yes, he's a good man." Sergeant McPhee was good, so how could he have arrested her father? Some day she would figure it out. In her room, she knelt down by her bed and prayed for Papa to come home soon. "Please make things better," she whispered in her prayer, "and tell Papa how nice the garden is."